Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Good morning. The reading today is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 32 through to 45. And it's on page 1025 in your Bibles in the pews. It's Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 45. Jesus predicts his death a third time. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much to you, Julia, for reading that, and a warm welcome to you all if we haven't met. My name is John Adams. I'm the vicar here at Emmanuel. The Victoria Cross for conspicuous bravery is the highest order medal of gallantry in the British Army. And since its inception in 1957, there are only three people who have received two VCs. One of those three was a man called Captain Noel Chavas, and I think we have a picture of him there. He served in the Royal Army Medical Corps, and he was a committed Christian. Chavas was gifted. He had studied medicine at Oxford. He was set for an illustrious career as a surgeon. Alongside that, he had competed in the 400 meters at the 1908 Olympic Games. Spurred on by his faith, he had also worked with underprivileged boys in Liverpool, teaching them sport and running Bible classes. But when war broke out, he desperately wanted to serve at the front. His first VC was won in 1916, and it's commemorated in the following memorial. And you can find this, next slide if we may, just not far from where Chavasse grew up. He was an army medic, as I say, and he had advanced as far as 25 yards from enemy lines to rescue the wounded, repeatedly carrying them back to safety over a distance of some 500 meters. His second VC, and the one which tragically cost him his life, was a year later at Passchendaele. On that occasion, again, he went out after casualties. He was severely wounded while carrying a soldier back to safety, but he refused to leave his post for the next 2 days. And in those 2 days, he went out repeatedly to search for and attend to the wounded, and as a result, rescued many who would otherwise have succumbed under the terrible weather conditions. But in the end, sadly, he died of his wounds. On and off over the last 5 years, we have been working our way as a church through the Gospel of Mark. And we come today to one of the most famous passages in the whole book, containing that immensely famous verse. And it's not hard to connect it to the extraordinary bravery of people like Noël Chavasse. Mark 10, verse 45. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Today, of course, we remember those who served and indeed those who gave their lives. And I'm always grateful for the yearly opportunity to reflect on that. It is true, though, that remembering the stories of sacrifice and conflict is complicated. How do we balance, for example, honoring heroism with grief at the raw, pointless tragedy of so much warfare? And of course, many of us feel grief over lives that didn't involve that kind of sacrifice. But we love them and we miss them, and our grief is important. My dad also served as an army medic. This year, I wanted to call him up and tell him I started my Remembrance Day sermon with a story of another military doctor. But I couldn't. His funeral was exactly a year ago, and he led a long life. It was fuller, but of course I'm still sad. And I know that many of you will have similar stories of loss about loved ones you've lost today. And I hope for each one of you, whatever kind of grief you're carrying today, you are going to find space to bring it to the Lord and find comfort and healing from him. But I think there's one more challenge with remembrance. War is, for most of us, thank the Lord, it is another world. And the stories can feel so extreme that it's hard to connect with them. But Jesus' teaching is for all of us at any time. His teaching on service includes so many small hidden ways that no one's going to write any books about, no one's going to award any medals for. But that is the substance of what he wants us to follow. So let's just spend this moment as we come back to those scriptures that we know so well. Let's pray that we hear the Lord speaking to us by his Spirit, that he opens our minds and our hearts to hear both of his universal example and his unique love. I've got 2 points this morning: Christ's service as a different way of life, and Christ's service as a ransom already paid. Let's start with the first. Christ's service, a different way of life. Well, this is one of those moments where Jesus' teaching comes as a real surprise to his disciples, as is often the case. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. When James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." It's an interesting approach, isn't it? Has anyone ever asked you to, do them a favor before they tell you what it is? "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Now, if you've been following along in Mark's gospel so far, you'll realize the disciples' request is just astonishing in its tone deafness. Remember, Jesus has just been telling them about his imminent suffering, his rejection, his humiliation, and that's the context. And then they ask this, and I was trying to work out what this is like. And do you know, have you ever been on holiday somewhere very hot, and to your immense annoyance, you've noticed that there are people getting up ridiculously early, well before breakfast, and going down to the pool and throwing their beach towels onto their preferred loungers? Well, this is the spiritual equivalent. Jesus, we know where you're going. Here's my towel. Here's his. If we could have them either side of you. I mean, it is an immensely embarrassing story for James and John, isn't it? Which, by the way, is a great reminder that this is probably historically absolutely true. I mean, if the disciples wanted to make up their stories about Jesus, what they wouldn't do is invent a whole load of stuff that made them look thoroughly untrustworthy. But actually, they did. And I think that's why we have a story of such amazing navel-gazing self-absorption in it, because it actually happened. But it is outrageous. It is outrageous. And yet, before we pass by it, let's just ask, are we that different? Okay, we probably wouldn't feel comfortable asking Jesus, can I be on your left and my friend on your right? But are there times when all we're thinking about is our own comfort and convenience? Have you ever felt the Lord call you to radical obedience in something, and then very shortly afterwards, you're just absorbed in online shopping, looking for something that you really don't need? Do we ever see Jesus as someone very powerful that we could use for our own benefit? How was the disciples? Are we not a little bit like these men too? Well, what will Jesus say in reply? Well, it is an amazing, an exceedingly gracious answer. And I have to say, I find it so encouraging, don't you, that the Lord is prepared patiently to work with such disastrous students. And that indeed includes us when we are like this. Here's what Jesus says. He says, you don't know what you're asking. Verse 38, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Here's what Jesus is saying, and if you'll forgive me, I'll do it a little bit more poetically. Disciples, you imagine me in glory and yourselves on either side. Well, where I am going, there will be two people on either side of me. Who they are is not up to me, and it really shouldn't be your concern right now either. That said, being with me, going my way, it is good for you to be thinking about that. And in between now and then, there is another experience that I am going to have, and there will be two people on either side of me. And actually, if you're following me, your experience is going to be like those two people who are on either side of me. Only I'm talking about the cross. I'm going to be crucified. And as my disciples, you too, just like I will experience profound suffering. At times, being my follower will feel devastating. It will feel so hard. It will feel like drinking the cup of God's anger. At times, it will feel like the first bit of baptism. You know, the moment where you get dunked underwater, and it's as if you die. You can come and be by my side. But please, understand what that means. Christ's service is a totally different way of life. Now, at this stage, we're told the rest of the disciples overheard. Verse 41, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And I have to say, I would love to know what was said in the next little conversation. But Jesus uses the opportunity to teach them all. Verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. What is Jesus telling us about what it means to follow him? Well, let's focus first of all on those four words in verse 43. Not so with you. Jesus is making a contrast. He's saying people in the world behave one way, but I want you to behave differently. Now, for James and John, I think Jesus is challenging them on their ambitions generally. Jesus, remember, has got his sights set on his God-given mission. He wants to complete it. They've got their sights set on their own status and comfort. And Jesus is saying, it should not be so. What about you? What about me? Where are our ambitions right now? What is it that we're dreaming about? Are we thinking about our position, our status in the future? What are the hopes that get the free pass to the front of our minds? What are we praying for? Is it, oh, I wish my life was a bit more comfortable? Or is it, Jesus, lead me on, whatever the cost? Jesus, teach me how I can serve you with whatever gifts or opportunities I have. Show me how this time that I have, this money that I have, these connections that I have, whatever I have, show me how it can be used for your glory and the benefit of others, even if it costs me a lot. That is what Jesus is presenting for us as his way of service. A challenge to our ambitions generally. But then, actually, when he addresses the disciples, he speaks to their leadership ambitions more specifically. He says, look, the people around you are going to use their status as leaders to reinforce their position. They're going to exploit their privilege. But again, not so with you. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. So what Jesus is saying here is even the Son of Man, which is a figure of Old Testament, immense glory, and he's applying it to himself. Even that illustrious figure didn't come to be served. Someone once said, if service is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. Something to wheel out in the office next week, if you like. Probably not. If service is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. Many of us find ourselves in positions of leadership. Perhaps you have a significant position at work. Maybe you own your own business. Maybe you oversee employees. Maybe you lead something here at church. In a sense, we all have forms of leadership. There is always some kind of responsibility or influence that we have. And actually, we should be immensely grateful that we live in a country with a Christian heritage that has actually influenced our thinking around leadership. Today is a great day to be reminded of our military. The military academy at Sandhurst actually has this motto, serve to lead. Not every culture would have put it like that. But that is how we should lead. And I do hope, actually, that's the spirit of leadership here at Emmanuel. I hope that if we ever had to choose between charisma and a servant heart in a leader, we would choose servant heart, not charisma. I want to acknowledge today that there are many wonderful people in this church. And the church is what it is. Our church family is what it is because you are in it to serve. And that is such a wonderful joy for all of us. But it still is a battle, isn't it, to live it out. Our positions of leadership at work, at home, at church, they can easily be exploited for our gain. So how does this happen? Well, maybe we let our leadership status get to our heads. And we begin to think, like my time is very important because I'm a very important person. So I can't really be giving you lesser person over here my time. Maybe we use our role to prop up our ego. And someone comes to us and says, look, thank you very much for what you've been serving. It's probably time to hand over, or it's probably time to do it slightly differently. And we get really awkward because actually that role has become about us. It's not actually about serving others. Maybe we serve very diligently, but we resent the fact that others don't give us the credit that we would like to have. I don't mind doing this, but I'm going to make a bit of a din about it until someone starts thanking me. That's not serving others either. That's just for us. Maybe we lean away from conflict because we want to just keep our lives easy. And as a result, we don't protect the people that we're actually leading. And there are many other ways that we could lord it over those we serve. Not so with you, says Jesus. Not so with you. Jesus Christ's service is a different way. But there are four more words I want to finish on, and this much more briefly: a ransom for many. Christ gave his life as a ransom for many. These verses have got huge challenge in them, haven't they? Challenge from Jesus. But there is also immense comfort here in its midst. A ransom is, of course, an exchange. It's a transaction that frees those who are otherwise held in bondage. And Jesus is saying that when he died on the cross, Christ gave his life as a ransom for all those who would put their trust in him. You and I, we are held in the bondage of sin. We so often, don't we? We know the good we should do, but we don't do it. Perhaps as you've been thinking about serving today, you're like, oh yeah, that's me. Yeah, I don't actually serve this way. And God is just. He will not let sin go unpunished. We should face the prospect of an eternity of God's judgment. But God loves us so much. He longed to serve us so much that he gave himself in our stead as our ransom. The sinless Son of Man, he was worthy only of glory. He bore the cup of God's wrath on our behalf so that we would not have to. And that is a ransom already paid. That is done. You know, maybe you look back on a week this week of great spiritual highs. You know, maybe you're really humming along, serving other people as the Lord longs. You still need your ransom paid by Jesus. Maybe you look back on a week or even a lifetime of just so much spiritual failure. Like, yeah, my problem with these passages is I just look at it and go, yeah, I'm rubbish. I never live like that. Oh, this is just depressing. You know, even if we're miles off the servant heart that Christ desires, we can still take heart. Because if we have trusted in him, he says, I have paid your ransom. You are free. Yes, there is a challenge for you to live my way, but not so that you can earn acceptance by God. That's what I've done. You can do it out of the freedom that I have already achieved. Christ's service is a ransom already paid. Well, as we continue, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us through your word. We pray that you would enable us to follow your example and to accept your sacrifice on our behalf. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.